Hello and welcome. You're watching The Buck Stops Here. We're coming to you live from Srinagar in our continuing ground reportage from the Kashmir Valley, which after 40 days continues to be in lockdown and curfew, plagued now both by militant violence and civil unrest. Even today, the morning started with bad news. Bad news that had come in the middle of the night. Another terror strike. The second this week, the first one was, of course, in the heart of Srinagar. This one came near Baramulla in North Kashmir when a military convoy was attacked by terrorists, leaving two soldiers dead and one police officer dead as well, with several others injured who have been shifted to the Army Base Hospital in Srinagar. Like we've been saying, one of the fallouts of the civilian unrest and this period of turmoil over 40 days has been that the military and the forces have perhaps been so preoccupied with containing the civilian unrest, something that's in a sense really not their job, because one would want politicians and politics to step in here, that militancy is exploiting that particular fault line. Now, this terror strike comes on a day when India has rejected Pakistan's offer for special foreign secretary level talks on Jammu and Kashmir. The MEA, the Foreign Ministry of India, has responded saying the foreign secretary, Mr. Jaishankar, is ready to travel to Pakistan, but only to discuss one thing and one thing alone, and that is cross-border terrorism. So there it is, a non-starter, of course. Now, in Srinagar, the opposition parties led by the former Chief Minister of Jammu and Kashmir, Omar Abdullah, actually mobilized themselves together. The Congress, the NC and other smaller parties met in Srinagar today. Later, they petitioned the governor. They accused the state government of having failed to contain the situation. They also charged the Prime Minister with having spoken about Balochistan and Pakistan while remaining silent on the unrest in the Kashmir Valley. The opposition parties here are now asking the governor to intervene. They want a judicial inquiry, especially into the civilian killings, where the casualty figure is now well over 60. Now, as we, of course, talk about Jammu and Kashmir, and we also look at the raging storm that continues around Amnesty International and a seminar that it organized out on Jammu and Kashmir in Bangalore, where Azadi slogans were raised, we also step back and we look at whether the Jammu and Kashmir conversation has been trapped in extremes. On the one hand, you have the hyper-nationalists. On the other hand, you have human rights activists who focus quite rightly when there are human rights violations. But what about when security forces themselves are in the firing line? Now, of course, as we said, the day began with a militant strike, and among those who was martyred in that strike was a police constable, Prithpal Singh, who was bid farewell today by a heartbroken family. But here's the irony. Militancy, the army, the CRPF, the police is willing to deal with. Militancy does not even scare the Jammu and Kashmir police like protesters do. And why is that? Because the relationship between the Kashmiri police, the valley-based police, and the people who are out on the streets is a much more complicated one. They're drawn from exactly the same community that is today out on the streets, up in arms against them. The Buck Stops Here team brings you this special exclusive ground report on why the Kashmiri policeman today is the softest target, so scared that he does not even want to be named or shown on camera. Every evening between 6 and 7 p.m., as the sun is about to set, men of the Jammu and Kashmir police wade into the smoke and the stones of downtown Srinagar to pull out the paramilitary forces on duty into safety as their deployment is withdrawn. There is one critical difference between the CRPF as it marches out of the day's pitched battles and the policemen who arrive to secure them. Unlike the CRPF, many police officers choose to cover their faces with makeshift masks, unwilling for their identities to be revealed, either for the cameras like ours or to their own people. Whether it's militant strikes like this one on Independence Day or facing the wrath and the rage of young Kashmiri protesters on the streets, the local police is the most vulnerable among all the security forces in the valley today. Treated with suspicion, animosity and even hatred by sections of their own community, across the Kashmir Valley today, there is fear and insecurity in the ranks. These days, when they travel back to their villages in rural Kashmir, police officers tell us they show their civilian identity cards when asked by protesters and not their police cards. Some even travel to the city in civilian clothes, donning the uniform only when at their posts. At the Army Base Hospital in Srinagar, where injured security personnel are brought for treatment, we get a first-hand sense of just how vulnerable the Kashmiri policeman is today. At first, not even one of them wants to talk on camera. It's not themselves that they worry about so much, but their families, their parents, young children, wives and sisters. Finally, they agree to tell us their stories only if we can protect their identities. A stone hurled this 26-year-old policeman fractured his nose while he was helping the Rashtriya Rifles unit clear a road blocked by protesters.
आप बता सकते हैं कि आपको ये चोट कैसे लगी?
पत्थर से लगी मैम।
पत्थर से?
Yes.
क्या हुआ exactly?
आरआर की कार्रवाई क्लोज हो रही थी।
जी।
जब क्लोज तब दे रोड ब्लॉक हुआ था।
जी।
उसी समय जब रोड ऊपर करने की कोशिश की तो उसी समय मुझे पत्थर आ गया।
और सीधा आपके नाक पे लगा?
नाक पे लगा सर।
और अब आपका फ्रैक्चर हो गया?
हाँ, फ्रैक्चर हुआ है।
आप एक बात बताइए कि कितने लोग थे वो भीड़ में जो पत्थर आपके ऊपर डाल रहे थे, वो कितने लोग थे और आप कितने लोग थे?
हम तकरीबन आरआर के 20-25 बंदे थे और मैं अकेला पुलिस वाला उनके साथ था उस वक्त एज अ गाइड, और लोग तकरीबन 100-150 के करीब थे।
तो 100-150 का क्राउड था जो पथराव कर रहा था, और आप और जो राष्ट्रीय राइफल्स के लोग थे वो 20-25 थे।
20-25 के थे।
आप मुझे बताइए कि जब पत्थर आता है, और आप तो यहीं के हैं, आप कश्मीरी हैं, आपने ये बहुत सालों से देखा है, तो आप लोगों का क्या ऑर्डर रहता है उस समय? आप क्या कोशिश करते हैं? आपका फर्स्ट रिस्पॉन्स क्या रहता है? आपको क्या ट्रेनिंग दी गई है?
हमें ज्यादा सहने की ट्रेनिंग दी गई है,
क्योंकि
कंट्रोल करना पहले हमारा काम है पहला। जब हद से ज्यादा बढ़ जाए तो फिर बताइए, फिर टेयर वो इस्तेमाल होता है। बस इस वक्त तो यही ऑर्डर है, इससे ज्यादा कुछ नहीं।
तो ऑर्डर है कि जहाँ तक हो सके सहो,
सहो हाँ।
और ना हो सके तो टेयर गैस।
टेयर वो, यस मैडम।
Unlike the CRPF and the army, which are both seen to be outside institutions, the Kashmiri policeman is recruited from the same people who are up in arms against him today. It is this that makes him a soft target.
आप मुझे एक बात बताइए, अभी मुझे ऐसे लग रहा है कि जो कश्मीर में जो पुलिस अफसर हैं, जैसे आप हैं, जो लोकल लोग हैं जिन्होंने पुलिस ज्वाइन की, वो थोड़ा सा महसूस कर रहे हैं प्रेशर एक अलग किस्म का।
हाँ। लोग काफी लोग उसे डरते हैं इस वक्त, क्योंकि घर जलाने का भी खतरा है, कि घर आने का भी जाने का भी प्रॉब्लम है इस वक्त। नाम नहीं बता सकते किसी को हम जे एंड के पुलिस में है।
जैसे हम अभी आपसे बात कर रहे हैं, हमने आपका शक्ल छिपाया हुआ है, हम आपका नाम नहीं बता रहे इसलिए, क्योंकि आप ये हमें कह रहे हैं कि आपको लगता है कि आपकी अपनी जान को और आपके परिवार की जान को खतरा है
इसमें।
क्या लगता है कि लोग क्या कर लेंगे? आपने का घर भी जला सकते
हैं। हाँ, वो सही बात है।
ऐसा हुआ है किसी के साथ?
नहीं यार, काफी पुलिस वाले 2-3 भी मर गए और ये गाड़ी से नीचे फेंके उनको। 2-3 का घर भी जलाया है।
तो ऐसे लगता है कि जो
डर तो होगा, क्योंकि हमारे पीछे भी परिवार है,
परिवार के लिए डर लगता है। मुझे ऐसा लगता है कि जो जम्मू और कश्मीर का पुलिस अफसर है उस पे खास प्रेशर है, खास दबाव है। अभी
खास दबाव है, ज्यादा जेड के पुलिस पे ज्यादा इस वक्त दबाव है।
सबसे ज्यादा दबाव, क्योंकि वो अपने लोगों से ही, अपनी कम्युनिटी से खतरा, मतलब उनको डर लगता है। लोग क्या कहते हैं? जैसे आप पे भी दबाव पड़ता होगा, लोग आपके अपने लोग आपको क्या कहते हैं?
वो आजादी की बात करते हैं, हमें लॉ एंड ऑर्डर के लिए इस वक्त फेस कर रहे हैं।
तो वो आजादी की बात करते हैं और आप लॉ एंड ऑर्डर। अब जब आप ठीक हो जाएंगे और आपको वापस जाके दोबारा शायद उस टेंशन को झेलना पड़े, तो आप तैयार हैं कि?
तैयार है, ड्यूटी तो कर रही है। बड़ा ड्यूटी तो कर रही है।
कश्मीरी पुलिस ऑफिसर्स हैव बीन टारगेटेड डायरेक्टली एंड लेफ्ट वल्नरेबल बोथ बाय द हिजबुल मुजाहिदीन एज वेल एज बाय सम की सेपरेटिस्ट्स। Pro Pakistan Hurriyat representative Syed Shah Gilani recently named an individual police officer of South Kashmir as being responsible for widespread pellet injuries. The terrified family of the officer rushed to Gilani asking for forgiveness but had no luck. Most recently, the so-called successor of Burhan Wani, Hizbul Mujahideen militant Zakir Bhatt, openly warned Kashmiris against joining the police, threatening them with death if they did so. The untold dimension of the clashes between security forces and protesters here on the streets of the Kashmir Valley is the story of the local Kashmiri policeman, drawn from the very same community that has today turned hostile against them. These men, even more than the army or the paramilitary, say they feel they are the most targeted. In fact, even lying injured on their hospital beds, they say that they dare not reveal their identity or their faces. They fear that if they do so, their families and their homes will be targeted next. Back at the hospital, we meet a 34-year-old police officer battling a hemorrhage in his eye. The internal bleeding was caused by a stone, and at the moment, he cannot see anything with one eye. Aap ye bataiye ki आपको जो आंख में चोट आई है और हम आपकी शक्ल नहीं दिखा रहे, हम जानते हैं कि आपने अभी आपकी फैमिली को भी नहीं इन्फॉर्म किया कि आप अस्पताल में हैं, लेकिन ये जो आंख में चोट आई है कैसे आई है?
अभी हम ड्यूटी पर थे कोपवाड़े में, जब हम उधर से आए तकरीबन 6:30 बजे क्लोज करके आए थे, हम पहुंचे ध्रुकमला के नजदीक बोमामा
जी,
तो उधर से लड़कों ने उधर वो रास्ता बंद रखा था, पत्थर वत्थर सफेदे के दरख्त काट कर वो
रास्ता बंद किया,
बंद किया था,
तो पेड़ काट कर रास्ता बंद किया,
बंद किया था।
अच्छा, फिर
हम उतर गए तो हम वो उठाने लगे, तब तक बहुत सारे लड़के आ गए, तकरीबन 300-400 लड़के, तो वो तो जमा थे ऑलरेडी, वो दूर दूर गाँव से आ गए थे, उतरी जमा हुए थे, तो उन्होंने पथराव शुरू किया हम पर,
तो पहले तो वो 300-400 थे,
400 थे,
और आप लोग कितने लोग थे?
हम थे शहर पे सीमित, हम 100-150 तक की,
तो आप 100-150 थे और वो 300-400। अच्छा, फिर क्या हुआ?
फिर हमें थोड़ा सा शेलिंग की, टेयर गैस का शेलिंग वेलिंग की, तो मगर आजकल के लोग यार वो उससे नहीं डरते हैं,
आजकल टेयर गैस से नहीं डरते,
वो उससे आगे और बढ़े, उनको पता है कि ये ना जख्मी करता है, उसे और पूछे उन्होंने,
तो आपने टेयर गैस चलाया फिर भी वो नहीं डरे और वो
आते गए, पथराव किया, तो उसी वक्त एक पत्थर मैंने सब कुछ लगाया था, हेलमेट भी लगाया था, चेस्ट कवर सब कुछ लगाया था, उन्होंने लाए थे वो दरिया की वो पत्थर गोल गोल से, अब एक पत्थर आया वो सड़क पर जब बजे तो उधर से टर्न खाई, वो सीधे हेलमेट के बीच में लगा मेरे आंख,
तो हेलमेट पहनी थी फिर भी वो पत्थर
नीचे से आया, फिर जब वो टपा खाता है, फिर जब वो जमीन में पड़ता है सड़क पर वो टपा खाता है, इसी वजह से ज्यादा जख्मी होते हैं पुलिस के जवान।
और अभी आप एक आंख से ठीक तरह से देख नहीं पा रहे?
उससे नहीं देख पाता अभी।
Like most of the policemen in the hospital, he has not told his family that he is wounded. आपने अपनी फैमिली को क्यों नहीं बताया है कि आप हॉस्पिटल में हैं?
परेशान हो जाएंगे, इधर से हालात भी खराब है, वो कहाँ आएंगे इधर,
एक उनके लिए डर लगता है।
डर तो है, आजकल ये पुलिस वालों को शक की नजर से देखता है, क्योंकि हालात जो खराब है पुलिस को ही फेस करना पड़ता है हर जगह, इसीलिए अगर हम कहीं पर हम कोपाड़ा से घर भी जाते हैं तो हमें सिविल कार्ड रखना पड़ता है साथ,
सिविल कार्ड
हम पुलिस के कार्ड नहीं रखते हैं।
आप ये कह रहे हैं कि अगर आप घर अपने घर जा रहे हो और क्राउड वहां पे आ गए या प्रोटेस्टर्स वहां आ गए, तो जब वो आइडेंटिटी कार्ड मांगते हैं तो आप अपना पुलिस आइडेंटिटी कार्ड नहीं, अपना सिविलियन कार्ड,
क्योंकि वो पुलिस से आज बहुत नफरत करते हैं, अगर उनको पुलिस का कार्ड मिल जाएगा, फोटो या कुछ और पुलिस का आइडेंटिटी कुछ मिल जाएगा, तो वो नहीं छोड़ेंगे।
तो एक तरह से जो जम्मू कश्मीर की पुलिस है उसको निशाना बनाया गया,
निशाना, पूरा निशाना।
Under pressure to minimize the rising civilian casualties, these men tell us they have been numbed by the abuse and the hatred of some of their people.
But it's the increasingly violent nature of the protesters this time that is something new and difficult for them to counter.
देखो हमें जो अफसरों से आर मिलता है उधर से कि किलिंग नहीं होनी चाहिए अगर वो जो माँ बात है उधर वो आजकल वो दूर नहीं 100 गज की दूरी पर नहीं आते वो तकरीबन 20 फुट पर आते हैं वो गालियां भी देते हैं हम सहते हैं वो माँ बाप की गाली देते हैं बहन की गाली देते हैं हम बर्दाश्त करते हैं वो पत्थर भेज हम उनको समझाते हैं हम बोलते हैं कि जब हम आप पर कुछ नहीं करते आपको है गवर्नमेंट के साथ क्या है क्या है मगर आप इधर है गवर्नमेंट की कुछ गाड़ियां हैं या गवर्नमेंट का कुछ प्रॉपर्टी है उसको नुकसान मत पहुंचाओ आप अगर जुलूस निकालना है आप निकालो केस क्या करना है मगर वो इससे जब वो पुलिस को देखते हैं तो उसी वक्त पथराव शुरू होता है
आपने कभी सोचा जब आपके साथ ये हो गया कि मैं पुलिस छोड़ दूं
नहीं नहीं मैंने नहीं सोचा कि मैं छोड़ दूं
क्योंकि यहाँ ये सब चलता रहता
है ये 2008 से हम पुलिस को ये सहना पड़ता है 2008 से अभी तो हो गए 8 साल हो गए 8-9 साल हो गए अब आदत सी पड़ गई लोगों के पत्थर खाने लोगों की गाली ये गाली गलौज खाने ये तो चलता रहता है
Just last month, the Jammu and Kashmir police advertised for 4,000 recruits. Last year, there were thousands of applicants from the valley for these jobs. The question in this period of unrest is this. Aren't these men just as Kashmiri as the men and women out on the streets protesting? And who will speak up for them and tell their story? In Srinagar, with Manoj Thakur, Manu Nair and Ruby Dhingra, Barkhadat for NDTV. All right, so as we look at the plight of the Kashmiri policeman, whom we believe is in fact the softest target in all my many years of reporting the Kashmir Valley, it is rare for me to actually come up, across policemen who want to cover their faces, hide their identities, who fear for their families, who fear reprisal. I think the question becomes that in this complex story, all dimensions of the truth must be reported. Just to bring you the stories of those two policemen you saw again, one says, they're going to burn my house, they're going to target my family, so hide my face. The other says, I've got used to abuses and stones. Aren't they as Kashmiri as the people out on the street? The interesting thing is that when we tell the story of the civilians, the human rights violations, the civilian deaths, we are branded anti-national. When we tell the stories of these policemen, we are branded jingoistic by many people here. I think those two labels capture actually the tragedy of the Jammu and Kashmir conversation, the Kashmir debate across the country. In fact, it was illustrated in this recent storm around Amnesty International and the seminar it organized on Jammu and Kashmir, a storm that continues to rage on after Amnesty International was booked for sedition. Because really, there are people who won't speak for these policemen, and then there are people who won't speak about the civilian deaths. And isn't that the real problem, that the Kashmir conversation is caught firmly between extremes? We're posing this question even as we're getting news that the NIA has announced that it will be probing 10 suspicious accounts. That's how they're describing it, and money that has come into the Kashmir Valley in the last couple of weeks. All right, let's introduce our panel. We're joined by Sambit Patra of the BJP, General Atta Hasnain, who's been, of course, an army commander here in the Kashmir Valley. Junaid Mattu of the National Conference is with us. The National Conference today, along with other opposition parties, has asked for a judicial inquiry into civilian deaths. Wahidur Rehman Para of the PDP is with us. And finally, the man at the center of this raging storm, Akar Patel, a well-known journalist, presently the head of Amnesty International, is also with us. Before I get Akar in and the politicians in, General Hasnain, I want your comments on that report. You know, we believe in telling the full Kashmir story. Yesterday, we reported the civilian deaths in Budgam. Today we tell the story of the Kashmiri policeman who is covering his face, who is masking himself on the street so that his identity is not revealed to his own people. Sir, these are policemen who are more scared of protesters than they are of militants. How do we read this?
Barkha, I must compliment you on this story because apart from you, I think I am one of the few people who has actually written about the Jammu and Kashmir police several times in various media. And I have always been of great appreciation for these people who are sacrificing their everything for the sake of the nation. And that is the reason why so many times I have raised this question, that how is it that a same village, such as Thral, for example, takes out, produces 1,000 terrorists and can also produce 1,000 policemen from the Jammu and Kashmir police and the Jammu and Kashmir light infantry of the Indian Army. Obviously, there is something which needs to be seen in this from a psychological angle. And that is the reason why I really appreciate what you have done, because the story of the Jammu and Kashmir policemen must be told and retold to many people. I remember in the year 2008, when this agitation started for the first time, there were many times during curfew when I came across policemen who were walking home in CVs, and I used to give them a lift and ask them why they were doing it. And this was exactly the reason which I was told. Now, if the whole issue here is, if the Hurriyat, if the ideologues, the radicals, if they can pressurize the Jammu and Kashmir police, which is actually the bastion which is standing between them and everything else which they are hoping for, then they can hope to be able to achieve something which they are looking for. The Jammu and Kashmir police, along with its leadership, stands tall. The Indian Army, the CRPF are all dependent very largely on this force, because without them, the eyes and ears are not anywhere.
But you know, sir, the point is, why are we not able to have a conversation about the valley today that has all dimensions of the story? Why is this conversation so polarized? And I want to bring in Akar here before we get into the various controversies that surround Amnesty International. Akar, you know, the reason that sometimes human rights activists or bodies like the Amnesty International are damned by, let's say, a Sambit Patra, who's on the panel and he'll speak for himself, is because they will turn around and say to you that groups like yours will never talk about the intimidation of these two men I interviewed, these two policemen who hid their faces, who pleaded with us to not tell their names, who said their houses could be burnt, who, when they travel on the highway, show their civilian cards today and not their police cards, who say that they sometimes travel to the city in civilian clothes and only wear the uniform when they reach the city. This too is a human rights violation. This too is a culture of intimidation. But we do not hear human rights people talking about this, just like we don't hear jingoists talking about the civilian deaths. Isn't that the real crisis of the Kashmir conversation today, Akar?
I would accept that there are many human rights issues that Amnesty doesn't work on. We don't work on the 2002 riots in Gujarat. We do work on Balochistan, on the murder and the kidnap and the torture of the activists there. We do work on the ISI and the nastiness that it has spread. But specifically on the Jammu and Kashmir police, the event that we held in Bangalore referred to them. Since 1989, Jammu and Kashmir police have been filing FIRs against Indian Army soldiers for offences. These FIRs have been investigated and charge sheets have been filed. Since 1989, the centre has not responded to even one of the charge sheets that the state of Jammu and Kashmir has sent to them. We held the event asking the state to give closure to those survivors and victims who are Kashmiris, to give respect to the Jammu and Kashmir police who filed the FIRs and conducted the investigation and filed the charge sheets, and say yes or no. For 27 years, the Indian government has chosen to ignore this. As a proud Indian and as somebody who means well for his nation, I feel completely embarrassed that we have totally ignored the pain and the suffering of these people, and when you put it out in the center, you are humiliated as being anti-national or seditious. I think we need to look on ourselves as a people and as a country and ask ourselves what it is that we have become.
Now, briefly, Akar, on the Azadi slogans and the sedition charge you face, and then I'll take it to Sambit, Junaid and Wahid. You know, you have a former colleague, Geeta Sehgal, who has again today said this is an organization that has backed jihadist groups, that has backed the Taliban. She has said that it's a convenient position to say Amnesty takes no position on self-determination for Kashmiris while supporting political groups that actually back that self-determination. A quick comment on that, and then I'll take it to the politicians.
No, it's absolutely untrue to say that we haven't worked on the Taliban or the ISI or on Balochistan or on jihadis. We have long pieces of work. We have 5 decades of work on armed groups. So it's untrue to say that we haven't looked at that. Specifically on Mozambique, the one individual from Guantanamo Bay, which caused her, I think, to leave the organization, and I regret that she did. It is a difficult issue to work with, torture. I think that states should be held to account for the conventions that they sign. When they violate them, they should be held to account. In doing this, sometimes unsavory people are the symbols of this violation. Amnesty realized that it ought not to have
well,
shared a
state. Well, unsavory is not quite the same as unsavory.
Whatever
is not the same as a terrorist, a Taliban terrorist. That's unsavory is a very mild, a very polite, a very you know, a gigantic understatement.
Ms. Dutt, you are welcome to use any term for him, and I will not dispute it. I am not sitting in judgment on whether
now,
the man is good or not. I have no problem at all
now,
with the terminology. Sorry.
Well, I'm just saying it goes beyond good and bad. But let me bring in the politicians. Now, as we are talking, and I've spoken to General Hasnain, we've spoken to Akar of Amnesty, I keep wondering, what are we arguing about? You know, because we can have 100 different views, but come here on the valley and see what's happening. This is about life and death for both the forces and the civilians. This needs politics. And here we are arguing about sedition and Azadi. Sambit, why are we on a tangent? I say this to you even as, just to bring our viewers up to speed, we have a statement from the Foreign Secretary who's once again emphasized the centrality of terrorism as an issue between India and Pakistan. And I would like you to respond to the contradiction of this, because your ally Mehbooba Mufti is pushing for friendlier relations with Pakistan in her Independence Day speech, while the central government clearly has a different view.
No, as far as you saying that there is a tangent and that people, in particular the government, is not aware of the situation in Jammu and Kashmir, I would beg to differ. With due respect, I would say, well, if Barkha Dutt as an anchor, of a great show, she can understand the situation of Jammu and Kashmir. She can do umpteen number of shows about Jammu and Kashmir. Do you think that the government of India is a smaller affair, that the government of India would not be knowing as much as you know? Surely the government of India would know.
I'm just saying you and the PDP don't talk the same language. Sambit,
no, I'll come to that also.
You
had two questions.
You and the PDP don't talk the same language. We are all obsessing over these Azadi slogans at the Amnesty seminar. If you apply that definition, then Mr. Muiva is seditious. Mr. Muiva, with whom the Prime Minister signed an accord, is seditious because he believes in the sovereignty of the Nagas. Then you'll have to lock up half of the Kashmir Valley because they're all shouting Azadi slogans here. Yes.
Well, if you have completed the question, as far as PDP and the Bharatiya Janata Party is concerned, let me tell you, as far as foreign relation is concerned, it is the affair of the central government. Central government has already taken a stand. The state government is not complaining on the stand. So why are we complaining over here in the program? My friend Junaid Mattu is present. I remember previously when the UPA dispensation was present, if you remember, the state government had passed a resolution against the central government saying that it is the central Indian government, that's what the resolution was, which is responsible for the kind of situation in Jammu and Kashmir, because the central government is not talking to Pakistani dispensation. So unlike the kind of stale that we had seen during the previous dispensation, there is no disagreement whatsoever in foreign relation in this dispensation. And remember, I always
how
have
do
stated
you see
no shows
your,
that yes,
how
PDP,
do you see your student wing, Sambit? How do you see the ABVP pushing for the arrest of people who organize the Kashmir seminar, people like Akar Patel? There is a BJP MP in Bangalore. I mean, when I look at that, I just find it so disconnected with what's happening here. And let me tell you, as you just saw, I am not telling only one side of the story. I'm telling the story of the police. I'm telling the story of the civilians. Quickly, and then I want to go to Junaid and Wahid.
No, why? No, first and foremost, if any student wing, forget AVVP, any student wing or any person in this democratic country has a right to go and file an FIR if he or she feels that the law of the land has been violated. If the AVVP has done so and the police felt that, well, yes, AVVP was right, then there has to be a Congress spokesperson over here, because an FIR was registered, things are moving. So naturally, the Congress spokesperson has to answer as to why the Congress police
but
in Karnataka...
Does the BJP want amnesty situation. Book for sedition? Does the BJP want amnesty booked for sedition?
The BJP does not decipher law. The constitution of this country deciphers law. If there is any controversy to that effect, the final call is taken by the court of this country.
Let me bring in Wahid and Junaid, and then we'll take it back to General Hasnain and Akar. Wahid, to you first. Do you agree with the position that the BJP has taken? The Foreign Secretary has just announced terrorism has become so central that effectively it makes it tough for relationship between India and Pakistan to progress. This completely goes against what Mehbooba Mufti said in her Independence Day speech.
Well, Barkha, I think there are a lot of lessons to learn from this agitation today in Kashmir. And you have been reporting here from ground one. I think what you need to understand today, there is complete consensus on the side of Pakistan, which is highly divided otherwise, and there is consensus in the separatist groups from Korea GM to JKL.
What is the consensus?
Even the militant
what
groups.
What is the consensus,
on,
right?
Yeah,
what is the consensus?
I'm coming to the point. So there is larger consensus that all militant to separatist groups are united today, and the country, if there is not consensus anywhere, that's within the country, and that's in the politics of India and the politics of Jammu and Kashmir, which looks highly divided on Kashmir when it comes to addressing problems in Kashmir. So which is very important when you are talking about Kashmir, and look at, we called the all-party meeting. The National Conference decided to stay away.
Yeah.
The Umar Abdullah did not attend it. Today he called a meeting and said, I will reach out to the president. Why should the ex-chief minister not reach out to the people of Jammu and Kashmir? And why to the president of India? And second important thing, the Congress decided to not meet the home minister when he came to Srinagar. And then they meet, have an all-party meeting in Delhi. So you need to understand, we are trying to do politics at a time when we need to talk serious peace about Jammu and Kashmir. And we aren't talking about integration, larger things.
But you have to first convince the BJP, not the National Conference.
So now,
I will ask that to the National Conference, but why do you have to first convince Sambit Patra and then Junaid Mattu?
Look, you need to understand, Prime Minister has previously also made, his reach out to the neighbor. And I think you need to understand, you need to give time to this coalition. We have certain issues where if you want to bring seriousness in the dialogue between India and Pakistan, India, today the government of India is not going to do talks for the sake of talks, which have been doing in the past as well. What have we attained
okay,
by
let me bring in Junaid, and I want to
just for the sake
Junaid
of now. No, let me complete, Barka. Let me complete,
okay.
For the let me
okay
you need to
quickly,
understand what is
more, yeah.
one more important point. There's a lot of difference in 2008, 2009, 2010 and 2016 agitation. The 2008 was about an issue, 2009 was about justice, 2010 was about justice, and 2016 is about this conflict escalated after the death of Burhan Wani. Now the question is, why did it escalate
yes.
so high, and why? And that the reason is, for the last 1.5 years, there has been consistent vicious campaign against our government, where the mainstream principal opposition parties, including the Congress and the National Conference, and the biggest campaigner who has been Umar Abdullah himself, who has been
making
people
insecure
about the Sani colony, Pandit colony, creating a scare about BJP, RSS coming, and this fear among insecurity among the people of Kashmir is being created by the mainstream parties than by the separatists. So it is a very serious problem.
And now Junaid has
to
come in. Okay, now hang on. Junaid, two questions for you. You can come in on the politics of what your party has demanded today, a judicial inquiry into the civilian deaths and the violence. I just wonder why your judicial inquiry would not extend to the intimidation that is being inflicted on local Kashmiri policemen. I'm not even talking about the army and the paramilitary who's seen as outside. But what about these policemen who today too scared to go home, who say that hamare ghar jilaye jayenge, agar hum apna naam aapko de dein, agar hamari shakal sadkon pe dikh jaye, hamare ghar jilaye jayenge. Why is there no judicial inquiry? Why doesn't any Kashmiri speak for their own policemen? One. And two, how do you see the raging debate around amnesty? How do you see the hardening of positions in Delhi?
Well, the first question first. We condemn all sorts of violence, be that against J&K police, be that against their families, be that the intimidation or harassment of the security forces, or the harassment or suppression of civilians. We have demanded a commission of inquiry. We have demanded a probe from a retired judge of the Supreme Court about the issue of the excessive use of force as accepted and acknowledged by the Chief Minister of the state in her speech on the 15th of August. So we are not saying anything that she has denied. She has said that there has been excessive use of force. We have said that if you've acknowledged it, you should probe why it has happened under your watch. Your second question, about Amnesty International. First, let me tell you about the families of the policemen. Well, that doesn't need a probe. That's a systemic, endemic behavioral pattern in the society.
I'm just saying nobody speaks up for them. They're singled out by separatists, they're singled out by militants, they're ignored by mainstream valley parties.
That's a sweeping, Barkha, that's a sweeping comment. I am speaking up for them.
I'm just saying I've not heard anybody talking about them in the last
opposition party. I am telling you, the history doesn't start in the last 1 month. There's a lot of noise in the last month, and it deafens down a lot of sane voices. In the din of this unrest, a lot of voices have been muted. Sambit, if you're done by your snide side talks, can I reply to the questions?
No, but you gave away the whole answer. Your story is not done in this last 1 month.
No, well, if Barkha gives me a chance, I will demolish 4 things you have said if you can listen to it patiently. But let me answer this question. And I hope Barkha gives me that chance.
No, you are out to demolish Kashmir. But we will not allow you to demolish Kashmir, for God's sake.
You have no stake in Kashmir. Now let me talk. Let me talk. Oh. Sambit,
you have stake in India and I have no stake in Kashmir. This is a wrong statement. This is a wrong
foreign
statement, Mr. Muttu. You have a stake in India
relations.
And I have no stake in Kashmir. Why? Why so?
Foreign relations.
Why such kind of statement?
You said
why you are special? Why we
foreign,
you are special and we such mundane
now you
people?
Have become like Mehbooba Mufti on this panel. Leave the theatrics out. Listen to what I have to say. Then I will listen to what you have to say with patience. First you listen to me, then I will listen to you. You
okay,
said that
I
foreign
want to go
relations
to General Hasnain,
is the
so you need
strict
to complete your
exclusive
point
domain of the central government. Then why in the alliance agenda of the alliance did you, which you signed with a state government, a regional party, why did you agree to talk to Pakistan in the agenda of the alliance if it's the exclusive domain of the central government?
I'll answer that.
Okay.
I'll answer that.
Okay. Okay, answer that and then General Hasnain.
But I'll take 30
answer
seconds
that
to answer
then General
this.
Hasnain and
yes.
Akar. Yes. Yes, answer it. Answer it.
See, the problem that Mr. Muttu has stated is we have a statement in the Common Minimum Program that, well, yes, we would like to have friendly relations with Pakistan. Well, yes, that is a stated position of Indian government. Indian government maintains that we want to have friendly relation with Pakistan, but the second line is talks and terror cannot talk together, cannot move together. So what is Mr. Muttu suggesting?
No, you're misquoting
is he suggesting
the agenda of the
alliance. That
no,
despite
lying,
the fact that Pakistan
you become a habitual
just,
liar,
just
my
a
friend.
Second.
You
there don't
no mention
no, no,
of that in the agenda of the
alliance.
Do you want
Abdullah,
me to quote from the agenda of the
three generation of Abdullahs are liars.
Your common minimum
liars
program?
And sinners.
The irony is, I know your
sir,
common minimum
liars
program.
Liars and sinners are three generation of Abdullahs.
No
don't
you
dare call me a liar.
Okay, that's
don't
it. That's it. There are people dying.
Don't throw stones
don't
at me.
Don't talk about dead people
listen
with
me.
Disrespect.
Listen to me.
Don't talk about dead people
okay.
with disrespect.
Listen to
don't
me.
Talk
I am
about
going
deceased
to,
people with disrespect.
I will come back to both of you. You know what?
No,
I'll come
no,
back
no,
to
no,
both
no. Abdullah is the one who should be answering.
Back in this conversation.
Barkha, you did not allow me
let's
to complete.
Let's get back this conversation.
Barkha, you allowed Junaid to complete. You did not allow me
to complete.
Allow me to answer. This is very
you know, General Hasnain and Akar are waiting very patiently.
Nothing is important.
Okay, one sentence to him. One sentence to Sambit. I have to move on. I have to move on.
People.
Okay. Okay, that's
okay,
it, guys.
Well,
please come.
The question
on.
Is...
Can I come in?
Come on. Come on. One
no,
sentence.
You can't
one
talk
sentence.
About
I'm
answer.
Really trying to bring
respect.
You in here.
Barkha,
but this is just getting
will
out of
this stone throwing
Sambit,
stop?
One sentence.
Will this stone throwing stop
Sambit,
in this debate? Can I complete
okay, now
my sentence?
Let's not use stone throwing as a metaphor for all kinds of other things. Complete your sentence. Complete your sentence. Come on, come on, come on. Complete your sentence.
See, this was... No, please. Don't heckle me. The important issue is this was a very legitimate question, an important question that the country should know. There is no difference between the central government and the state government. Well, yes, the state government, as the central government, wants to have friendly relations with Pakistan, but that does not
sometimes
mean at the cost
the
of the blood
pole,
and the
South
hand
pole,
of Pakistan
we have different
and
ideologies.
Terrorists.
Everything is different. Then sometimes you say
look
there
at him.
Is no difference.
Look at his.
So, yeah,
this
okay,
is the behavior of the National Conference,
to
which is harming
I'll
Jammu and Kashmir.
Sambit and Junaid, I'm sorry, time out. Time out, guys. Time out, guys. General Hasnain, I'm bringing you in and Akar in. General Hasnain, I want you to come in. We have squabbling politicians.
Thank you.
We have
thank you,
an
Barkha.
Alliance where,
Barkha is
where
actually
questions are being asked of this cohesiveness. Go ahead. Go ahead, sir.
It's extremely laughable, Barkha, that on a serious show such as this, these are the kind of issues which are being discussed. I feel ashamed actually
yes.
about it. Well, let me get
exactly.
serious about this
very
whole thing.
True.
You know, Barkha, first of all, if Junaid Muttu talks about a judicial inquiry into 66 or 67 deaths. May I first of all just remind you
exactly.
what happened to the 117 deaths in 2010? What happened
and
to the inquiry
they're
that
all
time?
In the High Court.
I was there in 2011.
The army
yes.
taken over
no,
the High
yeah,
Court.
Yeah, they are all in the High Court.
The high
oh, yes, yes. Oh, yes, yes. Oh, yes, yes.
I don't know if
let
you
the
have
to
behave.
You down. Junaid Muttu.
Let the general
shut you down anytime.
Let General Hasnain speak.
Don't shout at me.
Let General Hasnain speak, please.
Don't shout at me.
Please let no one shout. Let him speak.
Junaid, learn behavior.
You will have your chance. You will have your chance to speak. Please stop it. I have to bring mics down
I'm
and allow General
your,
Hasnain to speak. General Hasnain, please speak. That's it.
Don't talk to me in that
Sambit, Sambit and Junaid, please cut it out. Sambit and Junaid, please cut it out. General Hasnain,
Junaid,
you
don't,
cannot,
two,
Junaid,
don't raise your voice against me.
Like
General Hasnain, go ahead. Sambit and Junaid, I will have to for a moment. General Hasnain finishes his statement. I am bringing mics down.
Mics down. General Hasnain, please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. This is exactly what Junaid Mattu deserves, and he should get it from you. Now, I wanted to remind him about the 117 deaths in 2010. What happened to those inquiries? We have now gone through 6 years since then. Leave that aside. The actual issue that we are discussing is about the middle ground, about the compromise. Where or what can we be talking about at this time? Barka, I'm very clear in my mind that somewhere down the line, the separatists and what their ideologues and the supporters from Pakistan, whoever is the deep state there, are all in the belief, the mistaken belief, that the situation is back to 1989-1990. This has happened many times in the history of Kashmir in the last 26 years. It happened during the Kargil conflict. It happened in 2008, 9 and 10 when the streets were burning. There you have to convey very clearly, which is what the Prime Minister, I think, has conveyed very clearly from the ramparts of the Red Fort.
How do you see the fight around amnesty? I want Akar to respond, and then Junaid and Sambit can respond to you. How do you see the amnesty debate?
Before I come to the exact answer on the aspect of the amnesty debate, which I will answer, let me also state that actually the answer today does not lie anywhere in the battlegrounds on the streets of Kashmir. After seeing your report yesterday of what happened at Magam, and I know Magam very well, after also getting my own source reports from there, what is very evident on ground is there's a strong amount of intimidation against the CRPF and the army which is taking place to draw them in, force them into firing, draw casualties, have greater casualties, and continue adding the numbers from 67 onwards. This will only add to the ire in the streets.
Okay, so on amnesty, now, we cannot, sir, on amnesty, answer, I need to get a car in. On amnesty.
I will just tell you, the answer to this is not through firing. The answer to this ultimately is to talk to the right people. The right people are not the separatists. They need to be removed. There are so many other people in the valley who need to be identified. In the villages, in the towns,
sir,
the clergy,
on amnesty,
there are so many
on
people.
Amnesty, sir, I need to go to Akar.
On amnesty,
sir, on amnesty,
I know,
briefly.
I know you are particularly I know, Barkha, you are interested in finding out what is my response to amnesty. I've dealt with amnesty many times in Kashmir. Akar, hold on. I'll give you my response. The problem with amnesty is holier than thou. They always come back only at the time when they find that there is something that they've got against the army or against the security forces. What happens when all the time you find the incidents which are taking place again, instigated by the separatists, by the deep state?
Let me bring in Akar now before the politicians take over again.
You never hear a word from them.
Sir, let me ask that to Akar.
Let me put that to Akar.
Let me put that to Akar. Okay.
Well, you
Akar, what I want you to do, Akar, one question, then you can answer. You wrote an article in 2010 when you were not with Amnesty, where you actually spoke about the Kashmiri separatist project as inextricably linked to Sunni fundamentalism. It was a contentious article, it was a contentious argument. Let's bring up those graphics. You actually said that Indian liberals need not feel guilty that there was never a plebiscite in Kashmir because a secular democracy was worth everything, even if it had to be imposed. How did you go from that position 2010 to the position that Amnesty holds today on Kashmir? Please respond.
As an individual and as somebody who has written for a long time, I don't move away from that opposition. I have great respect and love for the constitution. My insistence is, and here I unite myself as a writer and as a human rights activist, that it actually be implemented. We cannot have this absurd mix of martial law and democracy in a state for decades. The response to people's protests cannot be that you shoot at them. If people demand justice, it should be given to them. So we cannot hold somebody to a perfection before we give them what it is that they want. I think that that's absurd. I think that we need to look at it in slightly more nuanced fashion. I stand by the Indian constitution.
Okay.
That doesn't mean that I'll be silent when it's violated. It is being violated. Just to add a little bit more
to
what
the general
was
saying.
But I have to be on another show. I just need to make a quick point.
Can I ask the last question to Akar, if possible?
Sambit, why don't you ask your question to Akar and then we'll get Junaid and Wahid to take last comments. Sambit, go ahead with your question to Akar.
Akar,
Akar, it's an academic question. Since you said that you individually stand by the article that Barkha was mentioning and you individually believe that constitution is sacrosanct and that has to be followed, but when it was asked on Amnesty India as to what is their stand on self-determination of Jammu and Kashmir, on plebiscite of Jammu and Kashmir, you said that we were neutral. We do not take any stand, we only provide platform. So since you love the constitution, yeah, then you have to take the stand that the constitution of the country states. And since there is a resolution in 1994 by the Parliament of India, constitutionally approved and ratified, which says categorically that Jammu and Kashmir is an integral part of India. So why were you neutral?
Okay, Akar, take
Patra,
that then,
Junaid.
But I'll have to take your leave.
We are neutral, Mr. Patra.
Junaid, you can make a last comment and then leave, let Akar respond to that.
Should I go ahead? We have no stand on self-determination,
yes,
as a principle. It is not about self-determination in Kashmir. We are a human rights organization. We have no specific position on GST and whether it should be implemented. We are focused specifically on human rights. Our principal focus is on violation by the state. I don't see why that should be disconcerting, and I don't see why that.
I'll take 10 seconds to answer.
This is the core of the debate. You can come in, I need to bring in Junaid now, and then Samvit, you can come in. Junaid, go ahead.
Barkha, one small question.
I just want to make some points before I have to leave for another show.
Junaid first, and then everybody can respond. Let Junaid speak.
It is very easy for somebody to say that the separatists need to be removed. I want to ask the same person, or not make it about that person. Why, in a different capacity before retirement, was that person talking, opening all sorts of back channels with not only separatists, but all sorts of quote-unquote lumpen anti-national elements in Kashmir? This issue is much bigger than Amnesty International. It is much bigger than PDP, National Conference, Congress, General Ata Hasnan, somebody becoming the chief minister, or somebody aspiring to be the next governor of J&K. This issue is primarily about a catastrophic indifference from the central government, a clueless state government, which doesn't know how to deal with the situation. Now, my friend from the PDP said that the National Conference and the Congress has been trying to destabilize this government. It's ironic. This comes from a party whose president used to be on the rooftops of cars, locked the civil secretariat of the state when people were dying.
So you
that
have to respond in the same way.
So you must respond in the same way. That. And hand on your heart.
I have great respect for Omar. Let me tell you,
Let everybody take 30 seconds to make the last comment. Junaid, calm down.
Junaid, you have to go for some program.
Everybody's going to get closing 30 seconds. Everybody's getting closing 30 seconds. Wahid, your 30 seconds now. Then Samvit, then Akar, then General Hasnain. In that order. All right, Wahid.
So, before commenting to what Junaid said, I have a problem with your tag when you say the diminishing of middle space in Kashmir, because this is like giving a permanent judgment on a temporary situation.
I am saying there's no middle ground in our conversations.
Yeah, so I'm saying that it's like giving a permanent judgment on a temporary situation. And if you say that, I think after this violence comes down, the space for middle ground will only increase. And the reason for that increase in space is because people will quantify what you achieve out of violence and what you don't achieve without violence, what you can achieve with democracy and by peaceful means. So I think people are trying to understand, and a lot of people in Kashmir today are already understanding that what we have achieved in the last 45 days.
Okay.
And that's our discourse as PDP, what you can't achieve with violence can be achieved through peaceful ways and democratic ways. And to National Conference, I want to tell you that this whole conflict in Kashmir is being...
So we inherit this mess from National Conference.
They have been the biggest beneficiary of this conflict.
Now Samvit.
In fact, my conversation with Mr. Akar Patel was incomplete. When Mr. Akar Patel said that principally they do not take a stand about plebiscite, Principally, he gave an example that principally they would not know whether GST should be implemented or not. I would simply state that once the parliament of the country passes a bill, you cannot take a principled stand that you would not know whether it would be implemented or not. It has to be implemented. So says the constitution. Okay. So there is a dichotomy between what you state today. Like personally, you like the constitution, but somewhere, as an institution, you did not respect the constitution by maintaining neutrality on plebiscite.
Sorry, I'm interrupting all of you, but I'm on the watch here. I'm on the clock here.
Yes.
All right. Akar, your last words. Akar.
Our policies are based on the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and they have to do with human rights abuses. We spend many decades working out the policies. We cannot take stands lightly. It doesn't mean that we actually oppose it. It just means that we don't have a policy position on it. I think that nuance needs to be understood.
Okay.
One last and very small point. We will not be able to resolve the issues that we have in Kashmir unless we are able to freely talk about the situation there. If an organization spends 3 years doing research, which is undisputed, we sent our research to the army and to the government, they did not respond to it. When we are campaigning on it, they are calling us anti-national. I'm saying that we need to move away from this and be able to look at it transparently and with open eyes.
All right. General Hussain, wrap this up for us, please.
Yeah. Three issues, Barkha. Firstly, to Akar Patel, I think you are forgetting an aspect of self-defense. If there are 66 deaths, very largely most of them have also occurred because of the self-defense which has been carried out by policemen who were under pressure, who were under intimidated and almost meeting their death at the hands of mobs. That's the word to you. As far as Junaid Mattu is concerned, I ignore your personal remarks. I mean, you're so petty. I don't even look at them. I actually marvel at your leader, Omar Abdullah, who's such an articulate, intelligent young man. I wish he would use the same talent to actually assist the government today. He will stand tall, I can tell you. If he comes to the assistance of the government, instead of just acting as an active opposition, if he actually holds the hand of the government, I can assure you we can find solutions on the ground. And lastly, you may keep on saying anything against me. You will never be able to prove that I ever spoke to the separatists ever in my 10 years in Kashmir. Never, ever.
Okay, we will leave it there. Junaid Mattu, Wahid Para, Samit Patra, Akar Patel, General Hussain. I just want to say one thing in the end. I think it's very important to not be scared of conversation, to not be scared of words, to not condemn people for thoughts, to not condemn people for sentiments, but to actually find a language to talk to people, especially those who do not want to talk to you. But it is equally true that this is a complex story, as we saw with the story of the policemen of the valley, too intimidated and terrified to even reveal their faces today. Leaving it there, see you tomorrow night at 8 p.m. with our special ground reportage from the Kashmir Valley that is looking at its 40th day of curfew, unrest, lockdown, violence and militant strikes. Thank you. Goodbye.